You never get used to watching yourself. So my name is James Wilson, and I'm here to share a little bit of my story with you. But first, did you have a Merry Christmas? Merry Christmas again to Central, South, Branson, our internet campus, everybody watching today. So before I tell you about my story, though, my Christmas was good. Lots of friends, family, food, a bunch of little kids running around, right? I even learned some kid jokes. You know some kid jokes? Great. Remember, the kid jokes. So why did Santa go to music school? Because he wanted to be a better rapper. Wait, I got another one. Why is a bad joke like a pencil? Because it has no point. All right, okay, that's all I got. But I wanted to take you back, right, to those childhood days, right? Back in the day, you were a kid, you were wild, you were free, you were just young, right? You remember those days, don't you? Everybody in here remember those days of wanting to be a superhero, right? But back in the day, you used to have to wear a blanket for a cape and a stick for a sword. But nowadays, kids got it way different. With a little bit of editing software, kids are actually becoming superheroes. Let's watch.
Cute purse. Oh.
I'm Batman.
What do you want from me?
And no one can stop us.
Want a bet?
You see what I mean? But you know what I never understood about superheroes? Is they always wore their underwear on the outside. I mean, it's called underwear, right? Not outerwear. All right. But I just wanted you to go back to those days when you were young, right? You were a kid. You were free. You had no responsibilities. Your only responsibility was to get as dirty as you could, play with as many dolls as you could, just be a kid, right? You remember those days, don't you? Right? Y'all remember those days over there? Well, I don't have any of these memories. See, now all of us have grown up in the most pleasant situation. So some of us can relate, some of us can't. Actually, there's a lot of blank spots in my memory from my formative years. See, I grew up in a lot of chaos, and my father wasn't really a part of the family, and he was off limits to me. Now, when I say off limits, I mean I would see him sporadically, but never really by my choosing. So all this disorder was the norm, and all this chaos epitomized into one belief, that I knew no father. And with that, labeled me with an identity of, I am not a son. So I knew men in and out of my neighborhood, but I never really saw my idealized dream of father. Here's what I mean. So every Friday night, kid, growing up, I would watch a show called Family Matters. Now, for you younger folks in the crowd, here's a picture of it. It was the Winslows, right? And it was all of the fun and the antics that came with their family times. Carl, hardworking black man, he was a cop. He was a protector of the people. He even went so far to take in this wayward, nerdy kid who would run around with these suspenders and these broken glasses and say, "Did I do that?" And I thought to myself, now that is what a father should be. And he became my benchmark, idealized dream of father. Now, I had a biological father, obviously, but that situation was nowhere near my benchmark. See, what I really wanted was a dad. Now, what this looked like to me was a hardworking black man who came home after work, talked to me about school, my grades, girls, even that loving firmness that you get from a daddy. See, not having a father blurred my idea of what parental structure and what being a son looked like. So to me, I was parentless. My mother, she loved me dearly. But there were things I needed to learn as a young black boy on a journey to becoming a black man that she just couldn't teach me. So the reflection that was mirrored by my circumstance said, orphan. See, I felt like an orphan, so I acted like an orphan. What's funny is the dictionary only really describes orphans as one whose parents are dead. But what's the difference between having dead parents and absent parents? Nothing. Except absent parents are still around to remind you that you are not worth their time. So, but now I'm sure you're wondering why I'm telling you all this, right? See, many of us act like orphans because we feel like orphans. So maybe you had no parents, one or even both parents at home, but you never really felt seen or loved. So you felt and you've lived like an orphan to this day. But whatever your family situation would, understand that God has made us all his children. And as I've discovered, now truly understanding my identity as a son or your identity as a daughter of the Most High God led to so many destructive patterns and ways year after year. Patterns that at this time of year we make New Year's resolutions trying to break. But what we first need to break is this belief and our actions of being an orphan. See, this orphan mentality growing up made me feel like I had nobody to talk to. So I only talked to my journals. I would create entire fictional worlds to live in because I felt that I knew no safety. I figured I would just create it. One day, here recently actually, I still enjoy character development and story. And I was researching this character and I ran across these traits of an orphan. Now, I'm just going to give you the ones that popped up in my life that were nowhere near fictional. See if you can relate to any of these. See, orphans, they have a tendency to play the victim and use prior misfortunes as an excuse for present circumstances. Orphans become negative and cynical and blame others for their problems. They see the world as against them. That was a big one for me. Orphans display addictive patterns, often as a way to deal with those deep, unhealed wounds from our childhood. Since they want to fit in so badly and desire to belong to a group, family, or tribe, orphans lose themselves trying to blend in, and in turn, they accept abuse in gangs and relationships rather than just being alone. See, an orphan's primary idealized goal in life is to belong. And orphans, they don't trust authority. So let's unpack this last word for a minute, authority. See, my parental authority wasn't trustworthy, so rebellion and defiance became my norm. But scripture, it actually has a lot to say about authority, such as Romans 13, 1 and 2. Let everyone, that means all of us, be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. See, the authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. See, understand that scripture calls us into submission over authority. But when we reject authority, it brings life with no consequence. And life with no consequence causes people to push us away. So we get pushed away, and we're right back to this first point, which is orphans have a tendency to play the victim and use prior misfortunes as an excuse of present circumstances. Understand that this is how I live my life, as an orphan in a vicious cycle of woe is me and the world is against me. Addictions, they became my safe haven. And it's almost impossible to fit in anywhere else in society when you're an addict, except with other addicts. See, this fueled my idealized goal, which was to belong. So you see the cycle here, right? It was a vicious cycle for me. So does any of this sound familiar to you? You could have had no parents, one or both, and you could be carrying some of these same traits. Your father might have been physically present, but emotionally distant, and never really seemed interested in you. Maybe it was your mom who was so busy taking care of everything and everyone but you. Whatever it is, being an orphan is a mindset. It's a mental trap intended to keep you from living out God's purpose for your life. Understand that in the world, this world we live in, it's full of human beings disappointing and being disappointed by other humans. So we feel this sense of orphanhood. It causes you to look at life through a lens of depravity and inadequacy instead of the masterpiece that you are. But see, the good news, and it's real good news, is that God knew we would feel this way. See, in a conversation Jesus was having with his disciples, he told them, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come for you." These were the same disciples that he built a relationship with. They felt that sense of loss and abandonment when he died on the cross, only for Jesus to come back just for a little bit And he was telling them, I have to go away again, but don't worry, I won't orphan you. I will send my spirit to be with you forever. So here's the full verse. It's John 14, 16 through 20. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, this world will not see me anymore, but you'll see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Now, this is a great, great truth for all of us. The best part of this truth that is in Christ Jesus, you are not an orphan. In Christ Jesus, you are not an orphan. But you know how this sounds to an orphan, right? How many times have you had someone promise you something, promise to be there, and they just let you down repeatedly? Here's what I mean. This is how bad it got for me. One day I was driving, listening to the radio. Jackson 5 came on. I heard young Michael crooning from the background. I'll be there. You thought I was done, right? But in my mind, I was like, really? Michael, aren't you like 9 years old? How are you going to be there for me? You see, the orphan mindset expects to be let down, abandoned, even by God. But living with this mindset has caused me and the rest of us so many problems. And God doesn't want us to live with this mindset. Now understand, I'm telling you my story, and this was a very, very real problem for me. As a society, this is a very real problem for us. See, fatherlessness is tearing our society apart, and it's keeping us from our true identity in Christ as a son or a daughter. Here's a staggering statistic. The fatherlessgeneration.com says 43% of U.S. children live without their father in their home, 90% of all homeless and runaway children, 71% of teen pregnancies, and 63% of youth suicides all come from that 43%. See, fatherhood.org is an entire website geared toward correcting the problem of fatherlessness in America today. It says, according to the Census Bureau, 24 million children live without their biological father in their home. And consequently, there's a father factor in nearly all social ills facing America today. So if you're a present father, if you're an absent father, if you were born from a father, if you hope to be a father, if you are alive and breathing, this is a very real problem that at some point touches all of us. And now, maybe you listen to this as a single mother and wondering what this means for you. Please know that the Father of God and the family of God is not just for you, it's also for your children. See, I come from a single mother, and I'm evidence that proof that all of that can be turned around by Jesus. So scripture depicts many different names used to describe God. They reveal his characteristics. But for today, I really like to only unpack one of his most significant names. It's significant to me because this characteristic is the primary one I've sought after. It's the one that propelled me toward and carried me through my healing journey. It's the name I call out when I'm at my lowest and I'm hurting at places that I didn't even know I could feel. It's Abba. It's a name that so many of us need to adopt. You see, Abba was and is a name most used when a child was speaking to their father. Jesus came to show us God as Father. 15 times in the Old Testament, God is called Father. But with Jesus, 165 times Jesus used the Greek term Father for God, and he teaches all of us to do the same. But Abba, I love that name so much, Abba. It's the Aramaic term that carries the idea for both respect and endearment that signify the close, intimate relationship of a father and a son, or a father and a daughter. You see, Abba comes the closest in scripture to translation to daddy. Because children rely on their Abba wholeheartedly with a childlike trust. It's a word found only 3 times in the entire Bible, and only by 2 people who had a very close relationship with Jesus, with God. One was Jesus on the cross when he cried out, Abba, Father. The other 2 was by the Apostle Paul, once in reference to the spirit of adoption that allows us to cry out, Abba, Father. And the 2nd time was in reference to the first point, that because of Jesus, we can all cry out, Abba, Father. Because it's in our worst times that we want to cry out for our daddy. Now, these days, we aren't hung from a cross. But we all have something inside of us that calls out for a father, a daddy. It's founded in your identity because you are created in his image, Imago Dei. And it's because of this that we have a bond to God the Father that nothing and nobody can break. Abba, daddy. So I remember I was in a leadership development program here at Gateway. Rob Overholt wears many hats around here, but in this example, he was the director of the program. I would watch how he would come in every day, he would hug his daughter, and he would kiss her on the cheek. And I remember thinking to myself, I want that. I wish I had that. Well, one day, Rob came and hugged and kissed me on the cheek. And my imagination says it was a little wetter than he expected, because I remember him shaking his head and wiping his mouth. I mean, that's how I remember it, right? But that situation taught me one incredibly valuable thing, that to Rob's children, Rob is their Abba, not mine. But because we're all God's children, we can all cry out, Abba, Father. Now, in our society, people often mistakenly only attribute daddy issues to women. But understand that God was showing me how deep that wound was for me as a man. Wounds that have had me hung up for most of my life. And yeah, I wrote poems about it, felt the effects of it. But what God was doing now was he was transforming my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions. He was making me his child. He was letting me feel that absence like never before. I now wanted to truly feel like a son to a father. See, those father wounds kept me from connecting with men truly. It kept me from letting them into the deep places of my soul. It caused me to isolate myself and blame them the minute something happened I didn't like. It kept me so guarded and on edge, and the first thing a man did that upset or hurt me, I was out like a scout on a new route, Jack. Even if not physically, better believe I was making a list and I referred back to it when it came time to judge him for all of it. It made me angry when they didn't respond to my texts, phone calls, and emails. It was this bitter little twinge that hung on the tips of my fingers and dripped like cold syrup, and it was embedded in my fingerprint. I never really could wash it off. It made it harder for me to forgive men and take responsibility when it came to them. It made me too sensitive, and it caused me to overreact, and I dealt with every man in my life through this cracked lens, from the glasses that I wore that had been trampled on by my earthly father. See, when a person feels abandoned, angry, or afraid, our primitive instinct is to panic. Our primitive inclination for survival kicks in when we feel threatened, even when that threat is viewed through a skewed vantage. But see, what God was doing now is he was giving me a new lens. He was giving me a lens of love, his love. Now, this is a wound that we cannot hide. We need to expose it and let God heal it. My journey from orphan to son has been a long one, and God's taken me through many valleys, mountaintops, rivers, all of it. It's been countless sessions of therapy, inner healing, and just late night dinners and crying sessions with trusted friends who I could pour my heart out to. It's been wrestling with angels in the middle of the night, long stays in the wilderness, and facing down my most feared and intangible opponent, myself. See, you don't always know it when you're in it, but believe me, you start to feel it on the inside. To move from orphan to son or daughter, watch for signs of longing for your Abba along the way. Don't run from the father wound. Let God heal it. Here's what I mean about signs. One day in my life group, Larry, he's a great father, and my throat is really dry. Larry came up and he gave me a hug. His beard brushed across my face, and I felt something strange inside. See, I didn't really know what it was. When we were leaving, he hugged me again, and I felt it again. See, it wasn't until later that week when I went to see the movie The Shack, and I sat there, and it started to make sense. Like, the movie hadn't even started yet, and I was like, James, don't cry in this movie. Don't you do it. The movie hadn't even really gotten started good, and I started to weep. And I mean that ugly cry, like sweat running down my neck, snot, and everything. Nobody knew what to do or say. Everybody sitting around me because they're so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable. Even me thinking about it is so uncomfortable. But it wasn't until after I left and went home in a stupor that I realized what was happening. I wanted to be hugged by a father. I was longing for my daddy. See, I didn't even know what it felt like to lay my head on a father's chest and sigh and cry. Honestly, I never even knew I wanted to know. But God intended parents and fathers to represent his strong, tender love to children. If that did not happen for you, there is a wound. When we hide that wound, it festers. It doesn't heal. But to heal the orphan mindset, because it's only a mindset, you can't run from the pain. You must face it and grieve it, but not alone. Your Abba is with you. As you let God tear off the bandage that hides the wound, yes, it will hurt, but he will also heal it. When you feel that deep sadness, like the one that ambushed me in that movie, don't hide it. Let God heal it as you look at it with him and you grieve it. Hear his truth. He says, yes, you've been abandoned and you felt lost. And just like I was there with you then, I'm here with you now so you don't have to keep living as if I'm not. So if you're serious about healing, what you need to know is you cannot do it alone. See, the first thing you do is you expose it to God and you invite him in. Now, when I did this, things began to change for me. The changes looked nothing like I expected because the more I showed him, the closer he came to me. I could feel his confidence and his gentle love as he directed me towards my second step, which was not easy, but it's to pursue healing. See, I submitted myself to counseling and prayer, prayers that would eerily answer those questions that I was crying out to God with in the middle of the night. Counseling sessions where she would fill in the missing pieces of my soul, and she also answered some of those questions for me. If you're serious about healing, you have to submit yourself to this. And as Nate mentioned, the Restore classes, they were phenomenal for me also. See, this showed me that I wasn't alone in what I was going through, and what I was going through didn't disqualify me as a son. See, God began to show me different places where I experienced hurt and the cracks in my soul and my identity. And like the loving father he is, he just poured in his love. I kept thinking that if I showed him or anyone else the really bad stuff for that matter, then I'd be exiled. So I did the unconventional thing. I leaned into the fear. I went against that orphan voice in my head, and I continued to press on to my third step, which is I exposed my hurts to a trusted few with the help of Jesus. I pursued community. See, people kept telling me about these life groups. No, orphans don't want to go to life groups. You remember that cycle I mentioned, right? Orphans live in this broken dichotomy of we're dying to belong to anyone, but we don't trust anyone. So I found a life group, a few of them actually. I planted myself in the community and I grew closer to God and to those people in my life. I learned the only way, hear me when I say, the only way to have real love and real acceptance in this life is to be the real version of who you are. Ask God to send you the people, but be open to these people being nothing like you expect them to be. You see, each of them will give you an added step to your journey and serve a different role in your collective depiction of family. Draw close to them and they will continue to point you in the right direction on your journey of healing and moving from an orphan to a son or daughter. See, scripture paints a very clear picture of God as father and teaches us to do the same. He teaches us how he can become such a father to all of us and reassures us that God never intended for us to live apart from family. See, that's the biggest thing I gained in my healing journey, family. And it wasn't just friends turned family. God also healed that cracked lens that allowed me to see the love of my blood family. See, we were all predestined for family through Christ Jesus. John 1:12 says it this way. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. See, we're all God's children. And because you are his child, you are an heir. Because you're an heir, you get to act like Abba's child. Here's what I mean. I remember back in the day, a long time ago, I was watching the royal wedding, right? And I watched and I noticed how much Prince Harry talked and walked like Prince Charles, right? And what I realized in that moment, his mannerisms and his gait, that inheritance is so much more than just money and things. See, God intended for us to inherit his traits and his love for all people, for us to resemble him in everything we do. After all, you're created in his image. It's Imago Dei. Like children or parents, we all share some of God's spiritual DNA, which is why in order for us to experience the benefits of his fatherhood, we have to first experience his spirit. Hear me. We too, all of us, are heirs of God. Think about that. If you've accepted his forgiveness and his leadership offered through Christ Jesus, you too can have will be born of a new life, born of his spirit. He adopts you as his child. 1 Peter 1 says it this way. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation and we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And it is through your faith, that's one of my favorite phrases in all of scripture, it is through your faith God is protecting you by his power until you receive his salvation. See, God always intended us for adoption through Jesus and not family estrangement. Because Jesus, he's our gateway to adoption, freedom, to the Holy Spirit, and to Abba, Father. And walking by faith is how we gain the power to act like his children. And the freedom, innocence, playfulness, creativity, and joy you might have lost along the way. As you walk by faith, trusting the Spirit's inner promptings, he'll teach you to be free like a child. Here's what I mean. LDP, you heard me mention it. One of my cycles took me to Next Gen, right? I remember every Sunday I'd watch these kids, the kindergartners and fifth graders, how they would worship. By worship, I mean run around, fall down, you know, worship. And I thought to myself, it occurred to me, I was like, you know what? I had no idea what it felt like to be a child and to just be free and to dance. So my prayer became, Daddy, let me hear the music as a child. So came that Sunday, right? I was like, you know what, James? Today is the day. You're going to go for it. So I gave myself this pep talk. I was like, it's dark in here. Nobody's paying attention to you. Like, you got it, James. Come on. Go for it. Now understand, I'm the biggest introvert I ever met also. That was part of my pep talk. So the music came, and I was like, this is my moment. And I gave my patented move. I went, oh, whoa, James, whoa, calm down. Save some for later. Don't, no, way too much. I joke about it, but understand that God used Next Gen in such a powerful way for me, not only to redeem me as a son who started to experience joy again like a child, but also to redeem my sense of self and that I had value in a leadership role over a child. Another issue I didn't even know I had. That I can only be a son, that I can not only be a son, but I'd also make a great father. Some of you in this room also need to realize that. See, God wants to heal you of those parental wounds, teach you to recover what was lost in your childhood so you can be a great parent, great role model, and a great leader. But you have to let him take you there. But how? Ask him to guide you towards healing, and when he shows you, because he will show you, by faith, be willing to follow. He'll guide you into your freedom, your creativity, playful, joyful, innocent self that you were always created to be. That's how you lose the orphan mindset and you become his child, where you can find freedom, rest, and safety. Now, one of the hardest things for me to accept as a son was a brand new concept for me. It was discipline. Now, depending on the filter you have for discipline, you may or may not see it as a good thing, but understand that children who are not disciplined grow up with a lack of respect for themselves and a lack of respect for authority, and they grow up to be very insecure adults. This is my life I'm telling you about. Now, for me growing up, I wanted discipline. I wanted boundaries. I wanted to know that somebody cared enough to come and find me out in the streets or cared enough just to stop me from going. Parents, discipline, it's a good thing. It's a loving thing. Proverbs 3, 11 through 12 says it this way, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof." Reproof means to admonish, to discipline. "The Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights." So to overcome the orphan mindset, we must submit ourselves to Abba, our daddy's discipline. Hebrews says it this way, "Endure hardship as discipline." See, God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? See, if you are not disciplined, but everyone else undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate. You're not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share his holiness. Now understand, the Greek word for discipline in Hebrews is paideia. All it means is child training, correction, guidance, because discipline is love, and it's not always pleasant. But for me, it was through this love and discipline that he continued to direct me where I should go. He allowed me to have to face the consequences and own my life, to stop blaming and playing the victim and accept the fact that I was causing these things to happen to me. I was causing people to respond to me the way that they were. See, his guidance helped me see myself as his son and not an orphan. And in return, I continued to submit myself to that discipline. Here's what I mean. Toward the end of the program, LDP, I encountered some hurts and some hardships that I'm still working through today. That was the survey that went out. And the survey, mine, it was anonymous, and you know how people are with anonymity. The survey came back, and it said things like, James is confrontational, James is passive aggressive, so on and so forth. A bunch of stuff I didn't agree with because that orphan spirit rose up in me quick in defense. But I had to remember, see, I have a new lens. So I took it through my steps. First, I took it to God. I said, God, angrily albeit, I said, God, this is what they are saying about me. This hurt me. What do you say about me? His only response was, you are my son, and I love you. So then I took it to those trusted friends. I said, this is what they are saying about me, and this hurts me. What do you say about me? And those friends, because they love me way too much to let me stay where I am, they said, James, yeah, in some ways, you can be those things. But it's not the fullness of who you are, because you are loved and you are a son. See, the orphan James wanted so badly to run away, and nobody would have blamed me. But the son James remembered that sons and daughters, we don't run. We lean into the fear and we pursue healing. We accept our daddy's discipline and we grow from it. I had to own my part in this mess. See, to Abba's discipline is unwanted. But to a child who knows they are loved by their daddy, it is welcome. Now, please know, if any of this resonates with you, do not be dismayed, because there's hope for all of us. Because God wants nothing more than to come in the right relationship with you as your Abba Father. What you need to know is that there's something so much better at this time of year than New Year's resolutions: to live as a new creation, to live as Abba's child. It doesn't matter what your earthly father's depiction of what a father should be, God wants to re-father you and show you how his child should walk through life so you can act like Abba's child. Know that on this side of the journey, once you've accepted Christ and you've taken your rightful place as heir, he will give you a new lens. For myself, through that orphan lens, I looked at myself as being broken. But through this new son lens, I look at myself as being beautiful. My orphan lens saw the mud. My new lens sees the masterpiece. My old lens focused on the giants that were in the way. My new lens goes after the God that told me to go there. Understand that the best thing I gained from my knowledge and knowing that I'm a son is that I know that there is nothing in all of creation. There's no angels, no demons, no height, no depth, nothing coming, nothing past. Doesn't matter what they say about you, what they don't say about you. Nothing in all of creation can separate you from the love of your Abba Father. Just know that this year, as we end this year out, there's something so much better than going after a New Year's resolution. Go after your identity as a son or daughter in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to ask you all to stay seated for a minute, because I want you to take some time and reflect on this. I'd imagine that there are two voices speaking to you right now, right? There's that orphan voice, but then there's that voice of a son or a daughter. So as you sit and you listen to this, see what God is trying to say to you in this moment. Listen to your heart. Listen to how you feel as the band plays this song.